Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 155, part 1. Are you a believer in seasons? Today is Friday, July 9th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop at Pastor Paul's Mall online. Be sure to check out vonsgrocery.com. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, Twitter, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. So be sure to check out the online community at pastorpaul.org. You can email me, Janine at pastorpaul.org. And at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find show notes with scripture links. So be sure to check those out and join us every week for part one on Friday and part two of Pastor Paul's messages. The conclusion is on Sunday. This month, the month of July, the lineup is the following: Proud Self, Asking Evil Questions, Great Form But No Power, Are You a Believer in Seasons, So Weeping, Reap Rejoicing, Times of Fearing and Doubting. There you have it, the month of July. Hope you have a great summer. Be sure to join us every week here on Friday and Sunday for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
Are you a believer in seasons? Well, at this point of time of the year, people are very season conscious. I know I am. Take a look outside and things are starting to melt. Heat bills go down a little bit. Snow is melting. Start to look at the trees and the little those little nodules in them. They're not really buds, but they're little nodules. And you look at those and you wonder when these things are going to start to bud. You look out and the sun comes up a little earlier in the morning. You say, wow, water's running, birds are returning. Minnie Gasco again is singing the blues. But anyway, as long as there is an earth, we will have seasons. Listen, Genesis 8 and 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, And summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Whatever goes around, comes around. Jesus also taught in parables, and I believe we as preachers should minister in parables so people can understand. Do the same. Now, Friday I mentioned working for General Motors, not doing any work, just praising. A lot of Christianity, just praising. And maybe getting into Bible studies are fine, but you got to take it out and get it to work. It's got to be a heart thing. See, when it's in your heart, you have to work it out. And so we're always learning. We're never coming to know Jesus Christ because you got to know him in the suffering. You got to get out and you got to do something. And I encourage all the prayer groups to get out and do something, because that'd be like being at General Motors and saying, well, praise General Motors. How long do you think they'd keep you if you didn't do something? To be like Jim praising those ovens down there at McGlynn's Bakery. Wow, look at these ovens, and telling the people all about these ovens and never putting any dough in them. Well, what earthly good would he be? How many are hearing this? But anyway, look at the conditions right now. What a message there is in them. How many are hearing this? Oh, well, let's get on with God's work. Let's stop getting melancholy over the thing. But what a message there is in them right now, both in the weather, take a look on TV, floods, earthquakes, drought, and bitter cold. Look at business right now. Isn't there a lesson in business? I mean, look at the job situation right now. I mean, here we have a parable that shouldn't pass over. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. I think we shouldn't lightly pass over this scripture. I think it's very instructive. And every morning now we notice which way the wind blows. We notice when the sun comes up and what time it gets up. And we start to think, when will the frost end? There is an air of expectancy. There is an air of waiting, an air of watching, an air of listening for those birds. And you say to yourself, will spring ever come? Yes, it'll come. And do you know how it'll come? You know how it'll happen? In due time, in due season. In God's season, that's when it will happen. And in addition to this, people are seeing a continuing stagnation in commerce. Things are going downhill. Jobs are few. Government cuts are frequent. Banks are very shaky, closing up all over. And where small businesses are making any money at all, it's just very small. We ask the experts, and they have no cement answers. They all speculate. They all argue points and blame each other. Right now, if you look around, you'll see buildings going up all over, and you wonder, well, if there isn't any money, how are these buildings going up all over? Well, someone comes in and they got some federal money probably, and they go over and they start to, we'll give you so much if you'll do this and so on like that. And then the city gets involved and everybody starts to build these buildings, and then they withdraw the funds, and where does the money come? Money's got to come in from the poor, so now we see cuts at the poor level. Well, are you saying that's all bad? No. See, if the economy would have stayed the same, they would have been partners and they would have made a lot of money, which you wouldn't have got any of. Well, are you getting into politics? No, I'm just saying the way it is. Everybody's hurting now. The very rich are hurting a little bit. And then the $100,000 a year that has to have all these parties and all these things to keep Mr. Big happy, they're in worse condition than you are. Boss just uses them, uses their house for parties and everything. And you better keep up in the social climate. And those guys, it says in the Bible, their hearts are going to fail. I wouldn't want to be there. I wouldn't want that $500,000 house, and I wouldn't want a $100,000 salary when I was spending $125,000 and $140,000 to live. And you don't know when they're going to pull the rug out from underneath you. Well, you've already had the rug pulled out. Praise God, the pain is over. I'm saying this, everything is going to come down. And if you're already at that level, what do you got to lose? These people, I'm not talking about the high class, I'm talking about the high class, are in trouble. Banks are shaky. Insurance companies are shaky. And the Bible says everything is going to have a great big shake. Everything that will be shaken. Everything that will shake will be shaken. Well, you've already been shook. Say amen. What a wonderful opportunity for you to give the rest of your life to Jesus Christ. Totally. But you see, it brings us to a sort of a place of a common affliction. The rich and the poor. And it says in the Bible, in the end, the very base and low thing God will raise to confound the wise. I mean, we're all going to have to bow our heads. Every head shall bow, every knee shall bow, every head shall confess, every person shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone, rich and poor, in between, upper middle class, lower than lower, lower middle class, and scamochis, so-called. And they're all going to bow down. Every one of us. Because, see, the signs are gone. Old George, he went AWOL, talking about the dollar. And there are no quick solutions in sight. No? You see, we have faith in God. Now we're going to have to use that. Now, we've talked a lot about it. We've read a lot about it. We've read all the faith pamphlets since 1970. Every one. And do this and do that and do this and do that, but we never did it. Now you're going to have to do it. You're going to have this life that I now live, I live in faith. Well, you have to live it. Well, if you're living, don't you walk around a little bit? And don't you use your arms and legs? And see, now we're going to have to actually go out and do the thing. The Bible says, faint not. Because you're about ready to see something happen. Faint not. I believe right now there's a lesson in love written for all of us in hard times. You learn how to love one another in hard times. Now this so-called $150,000, $200,000, $500,000, whatever job guy is going to have to come down a few notches. Maybe the upper middle class will have to stop fighting with the middle class, and the middle class will have to stop fighting with the lower class, and the lower class will have to stop fighting with the scoundrels, so-called. And we'll all have to come to a solution, and the solution is Jesus Christ. Every head is going to have to bow down. Hard times and dark times, and we can't go by sight because there isn't going to be anything out there to see, don't you see? And you're going to have to move in faith one step at a time. No long-range plans. Well, let's see now. By the year 1990, if we save so much money, don't get worrying about saving too much money, because they'll just pull the shade down and say, closed. You see, you can't do that. Say, we did. change the rules. Right now they're going to have to build another Switzerland to put all that coin in that people are cramming in over there. And they're going to have to pay it all out buying loaves of bread. Be paying $20 for a loaf of bread. All the signs are there, don't you see? But this text takes us back to Noah. Well, all the floodwaters had stopped and the heavens were quiet. Can you imagine that? Out there being tossed all over and then all of a sudden, silence. God had just opened up the door of the ark. And he tells Noah and his family, come on out. Come on into a new world. For a time there had been confusion, don't you see? The seasons were all shook up. Confusion, spiritually speaking right now, our world is in a siege of confusion. And every radical group wants to take blame for shooting someone else. But rain came then day and night. No let up. The days ran into the nights, and the nights ran into the days. And you couldn't tell if it was winter, summer, spring, or fall, because nature was out of order. And this world right now is rocking. It's out of order. Nature was out of joint. Now Noah was promised by God that the earth never again will be destroyed by flood. Also, as long as the earth remaineth, there shall be no confusion of seasons. No confusion of day and night, which destroyed all the living things. And isn't there a destruction going on right now? The seasons would have, it says, the appropriate times and temperatures. Oh, there's a seed time, and there's a harvest time. And there's a cold, and there's a heat, and there's a winter and a summer and a day and a night. And this gives us peace when God says this is never going to happen again. Until the close of all time, this will be in order. There will always be a season. Isn't that wonderful? You can count on it. God said so. It's going to be that way. And there's going to be a spring coming right out there. How do you know it? Well, you believe it. Well, how many believe spring is on its way? Aren't we grateful for God for this beautiful thing? Then he goes on and he's going to deal with men with long suffering. Tender mercy. Forbearance. And also says he will deal with patience and grace that men may be led to repentance. Led to repentance. And it says in the Bible there will come an end to all to this dispensation, but until it comes, we need not fear disorderly chaos. There will come a season. There will be a spring, summer, fall, winter. There will be a season, a continuing on. Four seasons each and every year. They will come and they will go. They will go in God's mysterious order. Did you ever think about that, how mysterious it is? And so God ushers in this reign of forbearance, and he gives his reason with the following statement. Listen. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For your sake, he'll never curse the ground. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Well, to that I say legalism never works. Does it? All the law was brought about by God to show man that he did have sin. Well, we hear the religious person on there, the legalist, and oh, are the Pharisees alive and well and kicking? And you know why the legalist ministry doesn't work? Because you see, they become meaner than the one that they try to help out. Won't you be helped out? Won't you? No, there's a season for the person. You can't hurry up spring. You can't hurry up summer or fall or winter. You can't hurry it up. You can't change it. It comes in due season. Now, that's the legalist. He wants to cram a condition on a person, don't you see? And it never works. God's ministry has mercy and forgiveness and forbearance and tender mercy and all this long-suffering. But they want to hurry it up. Come on, hurry the process up. Conform to the image of our particular organization. But anyway, going on. This is why he destroyed the earth, his people. In the fifth and sixth verse, we read, God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth, that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it what it repented, it says the Lord, that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Well, I believe the reason for judgment became the argument for mercy. Well, if we did it this way before, we'll do it this way now. I believe without mercy, the best of us are foul, too foul for heaven. Now, sir, I know you're listening on the radio because I'll get your letter. You, sir, are too foul without the mercy of God for heaven. Too foul. We all need mercy, and it's there. Well, I know a guy that needs more mercy than I do, but mind your own mercy business. That's all you want is a little bit? Well, then just take a little bit. And take, you know, take pride that you only need a little bit. No, I just need a little bit here. Thank you. And put it in your little pocket. Boy, give me wheelbarrows full of it. I'll take all I can get. You want to gauge your own mercy? Or someone else's? Oh, how we love to give scriptures to one another. Don't we? We lay a scripture on one another. See, and we don't do it mercifully either. Did you know what God says? Here, read. Well, that person knows. He reads the Bible. Also, I got an encouragement. And I get phone calls all the time. I'll get one off this message for sure. We serve a God of mercy. And so here's God who absolutely doesn't change, who then changes in his dealings with men. And his royal love law overrules. In other words, his sovereignty overrules his absolutes. And see, in the Bible here, he left them to themselves for centuries. But it seemed the longer that they lived, the more wicked they became, until sin reached out in a very terrible degree of infamy. I mean, man becomes bad enough in 70 years. Can you imagine somebody living to be 700 years old? What a monster. Not only did they have giants in size in those days, but also in crime. Well, you could think up some pretty wicked things to do in 700 years. Just think how you'd hate your mother-in-law if you had 700 years to be around her. People that have the mother-in-law jokes. How about a wife living 350 years old, going through a change at 350 years old? How about a husband having a 490-year itch? Well, God had to shorten it considerably. You can handle 70 years. But anyway, it was so wicked, it had to be destroyed. But when the Lord looked down on those that he had spared, he saw the same evil tendencies, the same fountain of evil. Their hearts, it said, always ran towards evil. And so then he shortened their lives. So that no individual might ripen into such a monster. Such a monster of evil. And such cleverness of iniquity. Think about it. Mercy. God has mercy and he takes you out of here when you're 70 years old or so. You'll be more than ready by then. Right? Yeah? Yeah, and maybe you'll get another 10 or 15 years or whatever, you know. Yeah. And yet he said, I will bear with them. He's bearing with you right now. I have dealt sternly, he says, with them outwardly, and they do not change. Even Noah's family sins. They haven't changed. And so now I will give forbearance and love and mercy and forgiveness. I will leave room for repentance, and I will even give them the spirit of repentance. They can't even do that by themselves. And so you see, divine holiness was a reason for judgment. And may be used by divine pity as a reason for mercy. God overrules himself. But what do you suppose changed God's absolute mind to change? Listen. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Wow. That's what did it. A sacrifice is the turning point. Now think about it. When one of your children does something, they all of a sudden they change their mind. Now what changed their mind? Well, in due season, something happened. Here they've been a rowdy, they've been on drugs, they've been so miserable, you just want to throw them in the garbage can, slam the cover down, and padlock both sides of the thing. All of a sudden, they straighten up, fly right. Ooh, sacrifice. They do something. They go out and they buy toilet paper for the house and some soap and toiletries and things like that, and they just surprise you half to death, and you start to have mercy then. Wow, what a sacrifice. The kid only made $3 an hour, and he spent two of it on household items. But anyway, God's heart was touched, and he exercised his sovereignty. Jesus said, I know what it says, but I say unto you. That's the same thing that God is saying. Well, I know what it says, but I say unto you. Everything goes around, comes around. Peter, do you love me more than these? Was he talking about fish? Yeah, he was talking about all kinds of fish and all kinds of other little things. Do you love me more than these? And so without a sacrifice, sin yells out for vengeance. And God sends, the Bible says, an awful flood. I believe Noah's sacrifice was very typical of the coming sacrifice of God's only begotten Son and of the effective atonement provided for our sins. I think this is a shadow then of things to come. It caused God to plead with himself. Who else could he plead with? For grace, where he once argued doom. See what the Lord will do when sacrifice is given. Make a sacrifice and see what God will do. Sacrifice your life. Oh, come on. I mean your life. I was talking about, and there was a couple of bus drivers in here, a couple of women in here, and they said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a bus driver, and I drive bus. I said, well, What do you think the bus company would do if you just put on the uniform and you just sat there and you took people around the buses? Yeah, this is a tire here, and this is around, this is hydraulic lift, and you knew everything about it. And yes, this engine back here, you see, this is a 1,000 cubic whatever and so on, like diesel, and runs on diesel fuel and all that. And then you went back and sat down. No, you got to get in that thing and drive it. You got to make a sacrifice. Your reward is your check. You see, if we really believed in heaven and there was rewards up there, wouldn't we be working a whole lot harder? I believe it. I'm going to start putting some overtime in. Okay, I believe it. Well, we can believe it enough to go to concerts. And then when they have an altar call, let's go, come on, they're going to have an altar call. Let's get out of here, hurry up. They'll be up there playing for hours. Come on, let's get out. Do we really believe it? I believe it. I've seen something. I've seen seven things. No, eight. I am fully persuaded. Oh, yeah, but you're a fanatic. Hey! Aren't you fanatical about going to your job? What time is it? I'm going to leave. Huh? I could get fired. Huh? Aren't you a fanatic? Well, aren't you? Why? For the reward at the end of the week. Isn't that right? Well, I just happen to believe that the kingdom of God is going to have rewards. I'm not just going for my reward is right here, actually. Because, see, when you give your miserable old life to God, what are you giving Him anyway? Miserable mess. Here, God, please take this miserable mess. But just see what the Lord will do. I hear Him say, a ransom has been found. A worthy sacrifice is accepted. I have found a reason to forgive. And now listen to this very solemn note. While the earth remaineth. Wow. I mean, the voice of this text is tender mercy, but listen to the distant thunder. While the earth remaineth. Doesn't that imply the earth will not always remain? Yeah, I think there is an appointed time. And I think the earth still lives in wickedness. It is becoming more and more perverted, and time is almost up. And then the seasons will melt, it says, into an endless age, and time will be taken over by eternity. A fervent heat. I'm talking about everything. Heavens. But anyway, for now, the whole world lieth, it says, in the wicked one, for now. Darkness is everywhere. Gross darkness. But then the Bible said, God has a people, a remnant, according to grace. And for their sakes, oh, are you listening on the radio when God pulls out the saints? And it says, for their sakes, the earth remained yet a little while, but the end is near, hour by hour. It's a countdown right now. It says in the Bible, God hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by one man, Jesus Christ. And so the hour is set. It's already set. It's like, do you ever have one of these potato, potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, and you throw it on and you wind it up, things going on? And a bell or something goes off and you keep throwing this thing around? See, there is an appointed hour. I mean, the clock, the time clock has been wound up, and when it stops, nobody knows, but there's an alarm that's going to go off. It says there's going to be a trumpet. And so the hour is set. No one will change it. The axe is at the barren tree. Now, you're not going to give it any more manure treatments. I mean, that's as far as it's going to go. God's sickle is being sharpened for the final reaping. Are you ready? And so love now calls out to men and women all over that aren't born again. Love is trembling right now with sympathy towards them. Love pleads with men to get right, but her mission will come to an end, and there's a day of grace is about over. Almost over, the day of grace is passing. The reign of judgment is just about ready to come. Don't fall in love with the world. Hate the world, the Bible says. Well, it even says, hate your own in relation to God. That's what that means. I'm talking about becoming so fanatical. Now, I had a Marxist come in here the other day. He says, you know, you talk just like the rest of them. You talk about giving your life. I said, I'm not on a suicide mission. I'm already born again into the kingdom of God. See, all you got to do is just lay down. You haven't got no place to go but hell with your Marxist thing. You know, nowhere to go. See, I have a place. I've been entered into a plan. The plan of attack is to give my lousy life down here to gain my life. And it goes on for an eternity. See, that's the difference. You have no place to go but hell without Christ. Think about that. Is it worth it? What kind of cause is it anyway? And then someone will walk up and you have flies and maggots all over. Well, he died for the cause. Get him out of here. That's the way to talk to people. Say, I have a cause. But my cause is Christ, and Christ is my life, and when I leave here, I'll just go right to be with Him. Well, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. I just happen to believe it. You can believe that there'll be maggots and worms all over, and that's the end of it. That's what you, if you care to believe that, go on ahead. But I have a witness in my spirit that right now you have been witnessed to, and you're going to think about it. You ain't even going to sleep tonight. Maybe two nights, three nights. Call when you're ready. See, you have to give people food for thought, and you have to become more fanatical than the world's fanatics. And boy, there's a lot of them out there. But see, we really don't believe a lot of times that we're not fanatical in what we're doing. Are we? I mean, really, truly fanatical. Oh, this guy is a raving maniac, some kind of a nut. Well, there's a lot of raving maniacs, and there's a lot of nuts out there, too. Well, if you can't beat them, join them. I mean, in their philosophy, but you have a different God. You have the God. Well, Paul even said that. He went out to the Greeks and said, oh, this is a nice God. Cute, beautiful, beautiful. Look at the hair. Oh, this is great. But I want to tell you about the real God. See, there's a real one. If we really believe it, we don't have time for all of this nonsense. Because the Bible says things seen are only temporal. Therefore, it says the world will pass away and all the works that are therein will be burnt up. Every work will be burnt up. Wait a minute. I built a great big ivory tower. How about that? Talk about waste. Can't we recycle? No, you can't recycle all that garbage. It's going to be burnt off. Totally burnt. There's not going to be one stitching left. Nothing. It says, even the elements shall burn with fervent heat. The elements. Not even the things will burn, but the elements. It's kind of like when you have an element on the stove, electric element. That even burns up. There is a day coming when it says, floods of fire shall be loosed. They shall fall from above. They shall burst from below. Are you ready? The poor world right now is surely doomed. God is gracious to you right now if you're listening to me, but there is going to come an awful time. You're waiting for the axe right now. Well, they say that, and when you go to work, did you get the axe today? See, they use Scripture all the time. What happened to so-and-so? Oh, he got the axe. Think about it. It just amazes me, all of the wisdom that comes out of the world, and they even give you Scriptures, don't even know. I says, hey, that don't surprise me. There's good things coming out of the world, because all good things come from God. Once in a while, you get a hold of them, and you have to use them because they work. And I told this Marxist, I says, well, you know what? I says, all of these Marxists and all these people, they just use the Word of God, but they got a different God. See, because all wisdom and all good comes from God, and that's all they got to give out. There's no wisdom from Marxism, or there's no wisdom from this or that. The only thing is they apply it to a different God. Are you hearing this message today? Believers in the testimony of God can joyfully say this today. We, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so we're not afraid. Let it come. Let the good times roll. When all these things roll away in a fervent heat, let them roll. And so we're not dismayed. No, we're not dismayed. While the earth remains, no one knows. No one knows when Jesus will come. It could be tonight. You're sitting around. Well, even the New York Times has got print this bold. I guess it's a couple of inches. This bold to put across. The return, Jesus returns. Well, you know what they'll have to? They'll have to put an ED on there because it's going to happen so quick. They'll have to put, he's come and gone. There's nobody, all the people are gone. I mean, the people that knew Jesus, they're gone. Wow. And so we're not afraid and we're not dismayed. Don't attempt to prophesy. And you'll see all kinds of that. Well, I figured it out on my calculator here. 6 o'clock, Wednesday. It ain't going to happen like that. It could happen right now while we're talking about it. Isn't that wild? Do you believe it? Well, I think if we really believed it, we'd become fanatics. Don't give dates. Oh, so many times people, they like to get into their own little dates. Well, according to this and that, you see, in the book of Daniel and Matthew, and they put it all together in a neat little package and think they got it down. Never think that you got the Word of God down. Because love will sneak in and rearrange it just a little bit. Hallelujah. But I say unto you, God's going to, there's a new army forming, and there's a brand new fanatical army that's coming on, and Jesus is saying, but I say unto you, but so-and-so said this and so and that and this. But I say unto you, don't worry about what they're saying. I'm saying unto you. But Lord, why are you choosing me? You're available. You want to make yourself available? Well, I think that we should be available from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, huh? Well, at least the world works from 9 to 5. Could learn a whole lot from the world. It is not, the Bible says, for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put into His own power. Of that day, it says, no man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Oh, come on, tell us. Come on. Please. Please. Will it happen this year? Well, it's lining up with Scripture and everything. Please. Shh. Be about the Father's business. Shh. It's Stop talking about when I'm going to come. I might have to take you out of the picture because you're such a nuisance. Take you to heaven a little bit early. Go to your room. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to put you in there early. It's not quite done yet, but you're going to go in there. Aren't those dumb questions when there's so much to do? When we sit down and we just study until we study our heads off. And, well, you got to screw your head back on again, you know? Of that day no man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This keeps us on a continuing watch. We are to remain, it says, on tiptoe.